Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and I am thankful for the opportunity to spend time with you. Thank you, for Lord, for the gift of this day. These are the times in which God has decided we will live, and amongst our responsibilities are, as we go through tough topics like this, remember we're talking about some organizations, not all, but all too many in the separate country of Seattle and the increasingly separate country of Washington State. Part of our role here is to lift up the voices of families and to protect communities. All right, so we've been tracking a story, and for a lot of people, it will be an unbelievable story. For some of us who've been around the teen so-called mental health programs in Washington State, it's just an escalation of things. We're going to talk with Julie here. Just if you are new to this, Julie's daughter began to express suicidal intent and was taken to Children's Hospital eventually, who then turned her over to a place called the Paul G. Allen Hope Center, which turns out is basically a place for homeless youth. Julie's daughter's not homeless. She has a good home. That began an incredible journey that didn't end. It's not over. Julie had to get first a couple of officers to try to get her daughter out of there. Ultimately, 8 police officers, according to Julie, went to the Paul G. Allen Hope Center and got her out. And Julie's welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. And as I recall, did the officer describe it as sort of a hostage situation?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And so the update, I don't want to get too much detail, but your daughter right now, she's safe, correct?
Yes, she is.
All right. And the process of getting her safe, you went through like you're told to do. Any decent treatment facility will say, hey, secure the devices, check out the emails. And you found something really interesting in her emails.
Yeah. So we were actually going through her school laptop, I guess early last week, and we found an email that was sent to her school email by a lawyer who had said she had heard from the shelter that she was in Children's Hospital and that her mom had pulled consent and she wanted to help her and she was going to try to reach her at the hospital.
And this lawyer does not work for Child Protective Services. This lawyer does not work for the government, as I understand it.
Right, right. It looks to me like it's a youth advocate type of organization.
And if I have this correct, and this is what I understand this to be, is this lawyer is apparently named Naomi Strand and seems to be with a group called Legal Counsel for Youth and Children. Is that right?
Yep. You got it.
So you didn't ask for a lawyer for your 14-year-old. You didn't request a lawyer for your 14-year-old. And do I understand there was more than one email that this lawyer sent to a 14-year-old girl who was feeling suicidal?
Yes, she had sent her 2. So she sent that one on a Tuesday, but she had sent a previous one on like Saturday or Sunday prior to that. And I believe what I understand from my daughter is that she had spoken on the phone to this lawyer in between those 2 emails.
And was your daughter able to discuss what she and the lawyer talked about?
They were talking about filing a CHINS petition.
Okay, so explain this to my listeners. And folks, I want you to understand something. I've been telling you this for a little while, and this sometimes people think this is kind of amorphous because it may never affect them. No parent thinks they'll be the one with their kids in treatment. And with things like lockdowns, porn being taught in school, and critical race theory being taught in school, there's going to be more encounters with mental health. You have no rights as a parent of a 13-year-old. Once they're 13, you have no rights. So explain a CHINS petition, and this is your understanding of why this lawyer was brought in.
Yeah. So I had never heard of a CHINS petition before, before this situation. And a CHINS petition it stands for Child in Need of Services. And essentially what happens when the child gets a CHINS petition is the parent is no longer their legal guardian. And it makes, in this case, it would have made the Paul G. Allen Hope Center her legal guardian.
So the center that she was in would have become her legal guardian. And if I'm not incorrect, the center that she was at, the Paul G. Allen Hope Center, didn't they have someone operating as a case manager who turned out to be not quite a social worker?
Yeah, that's right. Oscar Rosales was a case social worker, but not licensed in the state of Washington.
Not licensed as a social worker in the state of Washington, but as I understand, it was listed as a case manager.
Right.
And tell my audience, since they'd taken the time to pursue a lawyer for your daughter, tell my audience about how easy it was for you to get information about your daughter from the Paul G. Allen Youth or Hope Center.
Oh, impossible. I called daily, usually multiple times a day. I was never allowed to speak with my daughter. They said she didn't want to talk to me. She said she was never told that I called. When I would ask, you know, Oscar or the mental health therapist questions about my daughter, they were not forthcoming. They gave me very little information, which as a parent is extremely frustrating.
So these people were prepared to make a decision to get your 14-year-old daughter a lawyer to become effectively seize control of your daughter as the guardian of your 14-year-old,
right,
without interviewing you, without interviewing anyone in the family, without coming to your home, without pulling a CPS file, without having a police investigation. And I want to be clear, there is no CPS file. There is no police investigation of you guys, as I understand it. So they were willing to seize control of your daughter because she was thinking of harming herself.
Right.
Or at least that's what they'd have us believe.
Right.
Did your daughter learn anything about the number of girls or kids? Because I don't know if it's just girls at the Paul G. Allen Youth Center, how long people have been there, or the Paul G. Allen Hope Center?
Yeah. So it is a co-ed shelter.
Oh.
However, they only have girls there right now. So my daughter was one of eight girls. And according to her, most of these other girls have been there for a year or longer. Many of them, the shelter has guardianship over them. So, you know, I think she was just kind of sold this idea of this is where you go from where, you know, after what you've been through, this is the kind of the trajectory for kids like you.
Yeah. And thank God that you are not without means, that you are responsible parents with means. Right. And able to have your daughter cared for in a place that they're actually speaking with you.
Right.
They actually give you updates about your kid.
Exactly. Right? And they're obviously not in Washington State.
Yeah. And listen, I'm going to tell you flat out, you cannot trust without a great deal of research. You cannot trust mental health care providers in Washington State when it relates to your kids without a great deal of research. Remember, my dad worked for CPS. He was a social worker, an actual social worker. My mom was a teacher. Like, I've been around good therapists. Now, there's another part of this, and we'll continue with Julie. Julie's with us. We're tracking the story because I guarantee Julie's not alone. I guarantee she's not. Now, about the police interaction, Julie's with us, an update on a case that we began following exclusively a couple of weeks ago. Imagine a non-governmental agency trying to seize control of your child, trying to get your 14-year-old a lawyer so that they can seize your child, become the guardian of your child while not communicating with you. Imagine that circumstance. Imagine your child being in a place, and Julie, correct me if I'm wrong, your daughter was availed of a razor blade when she was in the Paul G. Allen Hope Center. So this is supposedly keeping her safe, but they availed her of a razor blade. And then, as I recall, she cut herself with this.
Yeah, that's right. They gave her a razor blade on a Friday. And then we learned from our youth pastor, who had been in communication with her on Saturday evening, that she had been cutting herself since they gave it to her on Friday. And that earned her another trip to Children's.
All right. So now, and this is the place that apparently, according to Julie, was looking to file a CHINS petition or have her daughter do it with this lawyer. And this lawyer works for a non-governmental organization, according to Julie. And I've seen the emails. So I've seen the emails from this that appear to be from this lawyer. Her name is Naomi Strand with the Legal Center for Youth Children. We'll ask her to come on. We've asked multiple times to have people from the Paul G. Allen Hope Center come on. They refused to come on. We've only gotten one return phone call. I did talk. And I can't discuss the details because it was on background. I did talk to Oscar Rosales, right? And you identified him as a not yet a social worker. All right. So you had said earlier when we were discussing this that it took 8 police to eventually get your daughter out. But the Paul G. Allen Hope Center, do I understand that they attempted to basically hide your daughter from the police?
Oh, yes. Yeah. They did. They tried to move her into a room in the house and lock the door.
From the police?
From the police.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're keeping track. A private organization that availed a suicidal teen of a razor blade. When the police came to investigate, they decided to apparently hide the teen from the police, according to Julie, and at the same time was seeking a lawyer for her, apparently. All right. You had requested a simple copy of the police report. Because it was quite an affair, as you've described it.
Yes.
And so that was the 6th. So what's the police report say, since they said they'd get it to you on the 6th?
Yeah, I do not have the police report. I did. So the incident was on March 29th. I filed my request on the 30th. I was actually supposed to have it within 5 days. And then I got an update email saying I would have it on the 6th. I still don't have it.
All right. So we're looking at now you have the incident report. You have the officer's name who wrote the report. I've seen these things. I'm requesting a copy. What are they telling you about why you can't now get a copy of the police report? And by the way, this is the Seattle Police Department. I'm not blaming the officers. They showed up. I mean, they're the ones who eventually got your daughter out of the Paul G. Allen Hope Center. We all know who runs things in the Seattle Police Department. What are they telling you about why you, the mother, can't see the report on the incident you filed?
Nothing. Nothing. I have emailed. I've actually called, and then they redirected me to the gentleman who is in charge of my case. And I have emailed him now a couple of times and have gotten no response.
I have to ask you this question, and I mean, it's semi-personal, but are you sure you want to live in the Seattle area?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. No, we actually have been talking about getting out of Washington altogether after all of this, you know, and we have 3 other teenagers at home besides this one. And it's after this, we are terrified.
Yeah. It's a heck of a thing to not be able to trust a caregiver.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I met a nurse a few years ago named Lou, whose son was medically kidnapped. And he was in a divorce circumstance. And his then becoming ex-wife, it was an acrimonious divorce. And she decided that she would have his, I believe, 13-year-old son sent to a local hospital to get wrong sex hormones injected. And Lou's a nurse, been a Lou's nurse for 20 years. And all he got was bills. All he got was medical bills. And there's no CPS. There's no criminal record. And he just asked, can I see my son? And they said, no. You cannot, because your son is receiving care and the care is confidential. And Lou, I mean, you'd think this is a medical professional. Julie, we know about 30 families who have relocated from Washington State because they have determined that in this insanity, they can't trust caregivers, which is it's frightening.
It is.
So what would you say to parents who hear this and say, but my kids are fine? Look, my daughter's been through treatment and we've been through family treatment. No one ever expects this. But what would you say to people who listened to us, two parents who've been through this, Julie?
Yeah. Not,
like, I didn't get my kid at the Paul G. Allen Hope Center. I've had the fears.
Yeah.
What would you say to parents who hear this and say, but my kids are fine, so maybe I'm not concerned?
Yeah, I say wake up. Wake up. No one is immune to this. No one's kid. I never in my wildest dreams, had you told me 3 weeks ago that we would be in this situation, I never would have believed it. I feel like this is something you only see on TV or in a movie. And it's very real. And it doesn't take much to have this happen to your kid. And I think a lot of parents are really being naive about where we are here in Washington and thinking that this isn't going to apply to them and that their child will sign some contract with them. And that's not going to work. That's not how it is. And when you get to a crisis situation, you don't know how your child's going to react. I mean, teenagers, as we both know, are all over the map with their moods. And, you know, they might be fine, you know, right now at 13 years old, but, you know, it doesn't take much for them to, you know, have a change of heart or to make, you know, they make bad decisions. It's just part of being a teenager. And, you know, I think parents really need to wake up and open their eyes to what's going on and get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just remember this, your kids are being taught that if they're white, they're racist. If they're not white, their white friends are all racist. They're being taught that viewing porn is a good thing for marginalized peoples. They're being taught there's no such thing as boys or girls. They're being taught that it's quite natural for a boy to want to choke a girl during sex. They're being taught that it's quite natural to engage in blood play. They're being taught an enormous array of unhealthy activities. They're living in a community where drug use is normalized. And we've done stories, Julie, of kids who went to a party like you and I used to go to a party, and maybe we'd drink a beer, maybe we'd smoke pot. I sound like the old man here, but there's a huge difference because now you have kids going to parties and they think they're trying a drop of oxy and it's a drop of fentanyl. Right. And we see kids in overdose situations, and that opens the door to places like the Paul G. Allen Hope Center.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Well, I want to apply pressure to the Seattle Police Department. I want to read this report. I'm going to just call back again, the Paul G. Allen Hope Center, and I will make contact with this lawyer who apparently, according to these emails, looks like she was emailing your daughter, trying to separate her from your family. Her name is apparently Naomi Strand with the Legal Counsel for Youth and Children. So I will call Naomi and see if we can't get her on the show and maybe just give, you know, a little bit of an update on their side of things. So,
yeah.
All right. We continue to pray for your family. I'm glad your daughter's safe. And please keep us up to date, Julie.
Thank you. I will.
All right. Come on. We're going to do Land Lace Down on Broadway.
Nope. Wrong album.
Who is it? What is it?
It's Nursery Crime.
Nursery Crime. Okay, so Tark's reaching way back into the Genesis catalog, the Peter Gabriel days. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. There's something utterly instructive happening online right now. There is what Alex Berenson calls the Church of the Vaccine. And dig this. Everybody dig this, please. I've been pro-vaccine my whole life. The COVID changed me. It's not just the COVID. It's watching what so many pharmaceutical companies are doing to children by purchasing their bodies and by lobbying to be able to shoot them up with wrong sex hormones. That's lobbying, guys. That's, I want to purchase these kids. And watching that, watching the Mockingbird media refuse to report on that phenomenon, literally refuse. And when I say refuse, I mean they've told me. I've taken family stories to them, and they said, ah, too hot to handle. But there's something really funny going on right now in the world of the technocrats. It is hilarious.
Bodies. Do you read me, Hal? Hello, Hal, do you read me?
Your kids.
Do you read me, Hal?
Affirmative, Dave.
I read you.
Your travel.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
The media you see and hear.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
The technocrats want to control all of it.
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do. This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
The Todd Herman Show presents Tracking the Technocrats.
So this is really, really funny. What's going on? I mean, some of it's tragic in that it's not funny. I mean, I wouldn't want to be this young woman who got shot up with the Johnson & Johnson injection that's now the FDA has paused. And for anybody who's telling you it's just because of blood clots, no. No, it's not. There's a whole bunch of problems with every single one of these injections. Again, it's a small percentage of people. If you've been shot up with this stuff, in all likelihood, you're going to be fine. Really. If you're thinking of getting shot up with this stuff, make your own decision. I'm not a doctor. I'm just someone who's looked at the data. And if you are healthy and below the age of 60, for the life of me, I can't figure out why you would want to get shot up with this stuff. But again, you're a grown adult. Do your own calculus. This woman, young woman, said she got shot up with the COVID so-called vaccine from Johnson & Johnson, speaking from a hospital bed with an oxygen tube in her beak.
I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine yesterday. Nobody knows if this is the reason that all this stuff is going on, but started with chest pain, paralysis on my left side. I was rushed over via ambulance to Baylor, Dallas, where I have had numerous scans done. I have had about 8 seizures in the last 2 days. Never had a seizure before. They did find a 3-millimeter brain aneurysm. I am currently hooked up to my EEG so they can monitor my seizures. Thank you, everyone, for all the prayers, and we are hoping to find answers soon.
And it may be the brain aneurysm, but in so many cases, it's not. That's obviously not funny. Here's the funny part. Alex Berenson refers to the Church of the Vaccine. Vaccine's a magic word. It is. Sacrosanct. It's a magic ability. When you're making a vaccine, you go to the government and say, we refuse to pay any damages this causes, pay for any damages, deaths or disabling of people. We refuse to pay or we won't make them. And the government says, okay, we'll force the taxpayer to pay for damages this undertakes. Now the pharmaceutical companies say, but we're going to need you to pay for all the advertising, all the promotion. We're going to need Tony Fauci to do a really good job of refusing to tell people the actual data about who is likely to die or even get sick from the COVID flu. Here's the hilarious part. The same people who have been screaming to keep children locked out of school, those same people, given the same odds, they are outraged, and I mean emotionally unhinged, that the Johnson & Johnson injection, the FDA has paused it. They're outraged. This is going to cost hundreds of thousands of lives, and this is paramount to murder, and just this. And here's the funny part. A very small number of people have been killed by this. We need to keep it going. Over 1 year since they've been demanding that school children not be allowed to attend class. What you're talking about? A statistical zero. Elementary age kids are a statistical zero to die from this. There are no known cases of elementary age kids passing the COVID flu to a teacher, even in countries where schools have been opened for a year. Not a recorded case. How many kids do you know personally below the age of 5 who died from a lightning strike? Just, I'll give you a second to think about that. People are more likely below the age of five to die from a lightning strike than the COVID flu. How many kids do you know between the ages of 5 and 14 who died after they were attacked and killed by a dog? Kids that age are more likely to die being killed by a dog than from the COVID flu. There's no known instances of kids that age passing that to teachers. In fact, in a study on my famous COVID fact sheet in Europe, I think it was the Swiss study, looked at A and B sets of homes. So set A was a set of homes where it was multi-generational. So kids, parents, grandkids. Those kids didn't go to school. Set A, the kids didn't go to school. Set B, same setup. Kid, parent, grandkids, multi-generational. But those kids went to school. Guess which group got more people sick with the COVID flu? Exactly. The people who stayed home. The kids who stayed home. Not the kids who went to school. Every little kid who gets the COVID flu is a place the COVID flu can no longer live. So the same people who screamed in the face of all those statistical facts, but if it saves one life, if it saves one life, I'll stay inside my apartment and in the meatpacking district, my one-room apartment for the rest of my life, ordering Uber Eats and changing woke masks every 3 minutes if it will save one life. What if stopping the J&J injections will save one life? You are a murderer. See, this is hysteria. Like reason number 1100, I'm not going to get shot up with the mRNA injections, is I don't think it's a good idea to get shot up with something when people say why. Well, there was this mass hysteria and everyone was hysterical and so I did it because it was, you know, like that's, remember when we drowned that girl because we said she was a witch? You know, kind of felt bad about that later because maybe she wasn't a witch. Just saying. See, there's dangerous things being said. Dangerous. YouTube disappeared a roundtable discussion between world-renowned scientists and Ron DeSantis and their team. You want to hear? We found some of the audio that they banned. This is so dangerous. By the way, we've had this doctor on the program. This is so dangerous. YouTube has disappeared a roundtable discussion between a governor of a state in the United States and healthcare professionals.
Some places have required it outdoors, like outdoor masking. And so, I mean, look, N95 in a hospital, whatever you want to say on some of these other things. But is there any basis to be doing a mask and out when you're doing an outdoor activity?
No, the answer is no. I think there's vanishingly few cases, even in contact tracing, that have identified outdoor spread at all. And I mean, outdoors is the safest place to be if you don't want COVID is outdoors.
There, I've actually seen reports of people biking on the street with no helmet, but with a cloth mask on. And you just wonder what kind of calculation goes into that.
It's no calculation. They're part of an hysteria. They're part of, they are dunking teen girls in water to say, well, if she's a witch, she'll survive. Then we'll kill her. If she's not a witch, she'll die and she'll go to heaven as an innocent girl. That's part of a banned discussion. YouTube disappeared that. You can't be allowed to know these things. We'll continue to air the dissidents. Don't worry. I'm a proud dissident. We'll come back on the Todd Emmer Show. Villain producer Tark continues to take us down the prog rock path.
Yes. Guess who that is?
I don't know.
That is a gentleman.
I hear, wait. I hear twin guitars. I hear dueling guitars.
Yes. Yes.
But now I hear synths. I don't know. Who is it?
It is Steve Hackett of Genesis.
Got it. Hey, by the way, did you know that the drummer, what's his name? His last name is White, for Yes, lives in the Seattle area.
Really? I know who you're talking about. I don't know his first name either.
We were standing at an event once, and my uncle knew him. And we were talking and visiting like dads, and we're walking away. And my uncle says, by the way, you know, he was the drummer for Yes and still tours with them. I'm like, so, okay,
wow.
But the guy driving away, I didn't get to bug him.
Perfect timing.
My uncle's like, exactly, exactly. You didn't get to bug him. All right, let's get into this thing that we call...
Just a few more things.
It's a quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into a logical and sequentially ordered list. Thereby, what we do is we add order to a world being made purposely chaotic in a top-down, bottom-up strategy from the party and the people on the streets. Ah, you're not crazy. They're making things chaotic. So what we do is, in this segment that wraps up the second hour of the Todd Herman Show, is we bring order, cleanliness, predictability, stability, you know, things that make life livable. Let's get started.
Thing one.
Don't you feel better already? Because now you know. That's thing one. There's four more to go. NBC, I talked about this earlier. They're confused, utterly baffled. How is it that applying 100 years of scientifically rigorously studied approaches to upper respiratory viruses that have been observed, tested, falsified, and cemented into papers like the ones written by Tony Fauci's team, Don't Lock Down for a Respiratory Virus. How is it that ignoring 100 years of scientifically rigorously derived learnings causes bad things to happen? They're confused.
Why are COVID cases dropping in states that have eased restrictions, yet climbing in ones with tight restrictions still in place? We'll dig into that trend that has some health experts scratching their heads.
Those states with lax rules on COVID protocols have all seen double-digit drops in cases.
Wow. It's almost like letting nature work. It's almost like letting our beautifully designed immune systems work is a good thing. Ain't that odd? I'm scratching my head. Next up, in just a few more things.
Thing two.
See, we really are dealing with mass hysteria. We really are. And that's just a great reason for me, like people being hysterical. I have to have the Backstreet Boys. I never gave in. I never gave in to the Backstreet Boys. You know what else? I've never seen Kim Kardashian. So proud of that. I may have accidentally seen her, but to my knowledge, I have never seen her. I never watched Everybody Loves Raymond. Well, I don't know why. Because they told me Everybody Loves Raymond. I'm like, oh, yeah? I'll never watch that show. That's who I am. This woman decided to film her own mask meltdown. If I'm not mistaken, she's actually wearing two woke masks because she films her meltdown. By the way, she decided to film this because, of course, she's virtuous.
I hope you both catch COVID. I hope you both understand how serious this is. Yeah. My four-year-old needs me. My disabled husband who broke his spine in 2016 needs me. Yeah. And you're selfish trying to take me away from them.
That's our goal. That's our goal. By not wanting to breathe what we exhale, by not wanting to help you become even more hysterical, by not wanting to breathe in, say, bacteria, which is, by some measure, what killed more people during the Spanish flu was bacterial pneumonia, not the Spanish flu. But our goal is to take life away from you and your family. Next up, in just a few more things.
Thing three.
Great news. The so-called governor of Illinois, whose family is involved in what I call gender jacking, and the so-called mayor of Chicago, they went out to throw out the ceremonial first pitch at a White Sox game and with Major League Baseball, who hates vote integrity.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting the game ball for today's ceremonial first pitch, please give a warm welcome to Chicago's own mayor, Lori E. Lightfoot.
Remember, they're not saying boo. Well, actually, no, that's... Remember that when they used to do that on sports? Remember, they're not booing. His nickname is Boo Boo. that's they're booing. She's the lady who has the really alien looking look. Someone asked her, how come you're allowed to get your hair cut during the so-called pandemic and we're not? Well, I'm the mayor. Next step in just a few more
things.
Thing
four.
Got your Jimmy Kimmel. He's doing the new hoax, laughing off the, what was it again, that guy's name, the kid with the dad, you know, the guy, the thing?
I really don't know. And the fact of the matter is it's a red herring. It is absolutely red herring. But I am absolutely, I think, within my rights to question anything that comes from the desk of Rudy Giuliani.
What was it? Guy's name? Hunter. Hunter Biden. Last step in just a few more things.
Thing five.
Hey, what's the thing up in Georgia about?
I did grow up under Jim Crow laws. And if this is not a complete, a total verbatim repeat of that, it is certainly a very close rhyme.
Yes, of course not. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.